I'm Lester Holt.
All right. So we are here with a Thursday Dateline. We got a shorty for you. And actually, I was looking to see what date the air date was. November 9th, 2023. The Google description's pretty good.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and read.
The Googs. Right.
Yep. Googs coming through. After police discover the burned body of a missing Miami man at the edge of the Florida Everglades, the wife of a local supermarket mogul comes forward to reveal a shocking secret and possible lead. What do you think?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, and it kind of does a good little tease here.
Here's Dennis Murphy with The End of the Affair.
All right, so we got a Murph Dog hosted episode. Kate, tell me, what'd you think of this shorty?
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, same.
I think same. Murph did all right.
Yeah, it's like we come off such a high of the man with the name...
This could even be considered maybe an all-timer.
Yeah, I agree.
You got a tall order for a Thursday shorty to deliver. It's like you'd have to really bring it for us to be like, knock our socks off. But I thought it was like, it had some fun stuff in it.
Yeah.
All right, so our story begins June 1st, 2011 in Miami, Florida. Camilo Salazar goes missing. Now, he is about a 40-something guy. He just had a kid with his wife of 1 year. And she's like an event planner back at work. And he was dropping off the baby so that she could breastfeed it or whatever. He forgets the pacifier, runs out to his car, runs back in, drops it off. That's the last they see of Camilo.
Yep.
Camilo kissed them goodbye and left. That was a little after 10 a.m. The Salazar's routine day ended then and there.
They don't hear anything from him all day. And of course, we've seen this story before. Is the family goes to the cops, worried as all hell. Says, hey, this beloved member of our family is missing. Please do your job and help us find him. And what do they say, Kate?
Well, you know, it hasn't been 48 hours yet.
Yeah.
He'll turn up. And they're like, no, that's not the kind of person he is.
Yeah.
He is always in contact with family.
They get sent away. So they decide to do their own detective work. And they start from the beginning. They go to the last place they saw him. What do they see around the corner from Daisy's work? But Camilo's car.
It never left.
His car's still there. It never left.
So something happened when he dropped off the pacifier and walked out the door. They're thinking... he got.
Yeah. And now luckily this car still being there is proof enough for these dinguses to go, okay, fine. We'll like do something now. So now it's a proper investigation for the cops.
And you know now it's too late.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's too late. Absolutely. Okay. While Camilo's family's looking for him, this one lieutenant is driving around the Everglades and he sees just some random fire going, like out in the middle of nowhere. So he goes in there and he discovers that the center of the fire is a f***ing body.
And he doesn't know about a missing person yet.
No.
He's just out making his rounds.
Yeah, because he's there because apparently this was like a hot spot for drug trafficking. So he was out there looking for drug stuff. And he's like, oh, what's going on here? And Murph Dog was very invested in the specifics of the flames, Kate. I don't know if you caught that, but he was like, now, was it just smoky smoke or was it like flames and smoke? Like he was real invested of whether or not there were still flames going when that guy showed up.
He wanted all the details.
Yeah, he did.
A cloud of smoke.
Was it smoky fire or fire with flames?
It was a fire with flames.
Well, hey, you know what, though? It's his f***ing hood. And it sounded like it, too. It was like a f***ing Californian sketch when they're talking about the location of the dead body. And the guy's naming, like, cross streets. And Murph Dog's like, oh, yeah, that's way out there.
He knows.
We were doing an interdiction detail for narcotics through the zone of Okeechobee Road and Chrome Avenue from Southwest 8th Street.
Nowhere land, right? That's the edge of the Everglades, right?
Correct.
He knows. He's a local boy. He's a local boy.
He's so local that he, I think, fancies himself kind of like a drug trade aficionado. Because when they talk about the manner of death,
ooh,
and they use the phrase Colombian necktie.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Continue.
Murph says... it's too gruesome to describe.
Right.
And he also goes on to say that he's heard about it for years. He says for years. And I'm like, oh yeah, Dennis? Yeah? You running with the cartel?
Yeah.
But it's not too gruesome for us to describe.
Yeah, Kate, as soon as he said that, I was like, well, guess what, Murph Dog? I can't wait to describe it. Because I already knew what it was. Did you already know what it was?
More or less, because I watched Narcos.
Same here.
Yeah.
Narcos f***ing rules, huh?
Yeah.
The hippies have been replaced by Colombians, and these guys didn't wear flip-flops.
That came into play a little bit here because Pablo comes in. But anyway, speaking of that phrase, Colombian necktie. Now, Kate, You brought it up, but can I have the honor of explaining what it is?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been thinking about this all day. Okay, so when somebody gets their neck slit and then they reach in through the throat, grab the tongue through the throat, and then pull the tongue through the slit in the neck so it looks like a little tie.
Huh?
Charming.
Not too gruesome for I'm Lester Holt.
No, man. And honestly, that doesn't even sound too gruesome for Dateline.
I know, right? I mean, I'm glad that they addressed it and named it, because it is a thing that, like, I mean, I assume it's real. I mean, it clearly happened to this guy.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
They're thinking Camilo must have been involved in the drug trade somehow.
Yep. Because also, a week before, there was another burned body by him. Like, there was another body found out there in the Everglades, like, right around where Camilo was found. So they're thinking, for sure, this is drug-related.
Right.
So they get their contacts, and they do some digging. They talk to the family. And what do you think, Kate? Is Camilo into the drug scene?
Not at all. Can I say that Camilo was adorable?
He was.
I can tell you that if I had known him, I would have absolutely had a crush on him.
I can see it.
And I totally get how we come to find out he's not a part of the drug trade, but he is a little bit of a ladies' man. And
he's a bit of a player.
Is what gets him in trouble. And I get it.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
He is very cute, and I liked him a lot. Up until we see his wife on the stand at the end. And then I switched teams real quick because I felt real bad for old Daisy Salazar.
Yes. I felt bad for all the women.
Yeah.
Because you know he's telling one thing and the other another.
Yeah. That's what's so sad is Daisy said they were so happy and stuff.
Newborn baby. Yeah, they were so happy. And he was so attentive and like never off, just out of contact doing whatever. Like she didn't understand when he could have been cheating.
Yeah, she said he was always present. God, that stings.
Yeah.
Because you know in her head, like when she's doing this, like day to day, she's probably like, oh, my husband never cheated on me. He's so present. When would he have time to do it? It's like, well, he did have time. A little too much time. So much so that they had burners and stuff, right? Like this was a proper affair. I mean, they were going to hotels. They both had burner phones to reach each other.
It's sad. We've all fallen for someone that we know is not a good idea. It happens.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
You're seeing flames coming out of the body.
Yes, everything's engulfed.
They can't identify the body because he's burnt. He's burnt to a crisp. His neck slit. His dick was on fire. We know that for a fact.
Right.
We don't know who he is, but the lieutenant like sees a missing persons flyer and there's Camilo's face. And he's like, well, that's the body we just found. And I thought this was a funny part of Murph Dog when he said, there's a missing persons report. And he said, oh, a paper that says like, have you seen this person? Yes, Murph Dog, a missing persons report.
Wow.
Right?
A missing persons flyer.
A missing person flyer. Have you seen this guy? That kind of thing?
Correct.
He was just so excited that they were talking about stuff happening in his neighborhood that he was like, yeah. I totally know what you mean. Mm-hmm. I'm totally in on all the scoops.
Yeah, you're right. I can't hold it against him. He's having a good time. He's stoked to be there. So Camilo was clearly not into drugs, but the cops are at a standstill. Like they've got no forensics. They've got no clues. They've got nothing. And then a few days after Camilo is found, Jenny Marin walks into the Miami-Dade police station and says, my husband and my lover are missing. There might be something going on. Right?
Right.
Now, what brought her to that conclusion? Can you tell us, Kate, about that little trip that she took to her divorce attorney? I mean, talk about getting some real news.
Yes. She learned all at the same time that her husband knew about her affair and that her boyfriend was probably dead.
Yep.
Jenny said not only was her husband missing, but now her lover wasn't answering her calls and texts.
She wanted in there to get divorced because Manny, a few days earlier, had confronted her and said, look, I know you're sleeping around. You've got to end it. And Jenny, got to give her credit, said, nah, I think I'll just get divorced. Maybe I want to be with this other guy. He seems pretty cool and fun and stuff.
And who did Manny look like?
Ooh, I don't know. Who?
Malcolm McDowell.
Okay, I can see that. That's good. So Manny owns like this chain of supermarkets called Presidente.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
He's very wealthy.
Yep.
And he rolls with his own sort of cartel type crew.
Yep.
He's got connects all throughout the area.
Yep.
And it's not a stretch for her to think that he would have had something to do with her boyfriend's disappearance.
Yeah. I mean, she comes to that conclusion with her lawyer, and her divorce, her lawyer goes, hey, look, you want to talk divorce, I'm your guy, but this is a police matter.
Her lawyer said this wasn't a story for a divorce attorney. Jenny needed to talk to the police.
So then that's when she goes to the cops and says, listen, missing lover, missing hubby, help. She's in the thick of it right then, and she had... Wait, real quick. Another Burf Dog highlight, okay? During this time, we're finding out about Manny Marin and Jenny Marin. Burf Dog goes, what did that have to do with Camilo? Only everything.
But what did that have to do with Camilo Salazar? Only everything.
That's good, right?
Is it good or really lazy?
I don't know. Maybe it's lazy. I just, only everything. It only had everything to do with it. So now Jenny is in with police telling them about Manny. And Manny has been gone for 2 days. He flew to Paris on a round trip ticket.
Yeah, that round trip, that return trip never got used. He stayed.
Yeah, he stayed.
He speaks Spanish fluently. He's probably not even in Paris. He's probably in Spain, hiding out.
I figure he's in Spain.
Do you have an address for him in Spain?
Absolutely not.
So Jenny's in there with the cops and she gives them Manny's cell phone. And now that they have Manny's cell phone, they can't go as far to do like the tracking or the pings. But what they can do is get a list of who he was talking to. And the fact is, on June 1 of 2011, he was chatting up three guys back and forth. Just all day constant contact with these three guys, which were two MMA fighters and then a corner man as well. So it's like these three guys from like a boxing gym or something.
Yeah, they're right? Clearly... his muscle.
Yeah, clearly his thugs.
His goons.
There you go, goons. That's what I'm looking for. They're clearly his goons. When do we talk about Gail Levine, the prosecutor, who doesn't prosecute the case, but she's very instrumental in getting this case going because she's the one who filed charges.
Bring it up right now.
Gail Levine, guess what she is, Kate? All-star.
Is she? Okay, all right.
She is.
Do you have an address for him in Spain?
Absolutely not.
I loved her, too. I loved everything about her. She kind of, like, reminded me of Jill Zarin from Real Housewives of New York. Did you ever party with the Real Housewives?
I know who Jill Zarin is, although I didn't party with her.
Fair.
Good or bad, I know who I am, and I own it.
She kind of looks like her, but she's just got a fun attitude. Like, she's just, her responses to Murph Dog are just so fun.
In today's world, I hate to tell all the possible criminals in the world, but your phone tells everything.
Did you like her? Did you like her vibe?
I didn't really think about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess I was still heartbroken over Camilo.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. He grew up in Colombia during Escobar time.
Camilo was born in Colombia during the rise of Pablo Escobar's Medellin drug cartel.
Oh, man, we meet Camilo's mom. This poor mom, huh? She's got some heartbreak.
When he was missing, she said she looked for him walking around the neighborhood until her shoes basically fell apart. The soles of her shoes wore away. She was walking around the neighborhood so much.
Yeah, which is a great descriptor for how much she was looking. Murph Dog presented it like it was fact, which isn't true, but it was a very good sentiment.
Yeah.
She kept walking and walking. She actually wore out the soles of her shoes.
And then we also have Camilo's sister, Carolina, who I thought was kind of cute, but she was our main source of info for this app.
She was. And originally, because we were only seeing Carolina, I was suspicious of Daisy because I thought, why wouldn't the grieving wife be interviewed?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And I didn't realize yet because she had been cheated on.
Yeah.
Her grieving kind of changed.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't want to be interviewed either. But the sister was great.
She was great. They know in 2011 that Manny Marin probably did it. He flew the coop and he probably hired these three guys to do it. But they don't have any evidence. So it kind of goes cold a little bit. Right? Because they found, they go back to the car that he left and they found one latent print that didn't match anybody. So they're sitting on that. 4 years pass, nothing new comes out. They decide to go back to the beginning. They go back and take a look at this car again and they go, hey, let's run that print one more time. Who knows? And so they run this print through the system and they fucking find a match. And sure enough, it's one of those three MMA dudes.
Yeah, because of course one of them has a record.
No, of course somebody f***ed up afterwards. It's like, this is again, I love the payback and the karma of like, hey, dude, you got away with murder. Why don't you just like play it safe from now on? No, you're going to get a drug bust and then that's going to catch you for your murder. Sorry.
I don't think people think that through. They think because their record is clean before the murder that they're golden.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to be the rest of your life. You got to stay off the grid.
Absolutely. I mean, even down to, not a traffic ticket, but yeah, you got to play it safe the rest of your run. And so often they can't do it.
They can't. It's ego.
They can't do
it. It's hubris.
That's right.
After Camilo's murder, Gandula had been arrested on a drug charge. And now his fingerprint was in a national database.
They also figure out that Manny is getting money transferred to him from his son in Florida. So we don't know where Manny is, but we know that his son is getting him money somehow. And so Gail, good old Gail, puts the heat on. What'd she do then, Kate? What'd she do?
Tell me.
She said, all right, I'm going to arrest him for aiding and abetting. She throws charges at the son. Says, you're going down then.
Is he shaking in his boots?
I don't know, but he's getting a lot of bad press.
That's dope. And we see him in court being all bummed. And then sure enough, what do you know? Old Manny Marin walks into the Spanish embassy and says, hey, I'm wanted in the U.S. My son's about to take the heat for me. That was pretty good. That worked.
It worked.
Manny turns himself in. So they've got two of the four arrested because they decided to charge him in absentia, which is when they don't know where they are. That was pretty cool.
That's a good word.
Two of the four were in absentia. One of them is Manny. He comes back. They've got him. But there's this fourth one, Gondola, that we're still looking for. We don't know where he is. And this is another moment where I love Gail. Do you remember how Gail found Gondola?
No.
Google.
The old Googs.
Google.
The prosecutors in this country use Google to make their cases?
You use whatever you can.
I think she's also maybe bragging a little. Like, I had nothing to go on, and I got him.
Yeah. I mean, she's got a slam dunk coming up here. So she goes up to Canada. She finds Gondola in Vancouver. She goes to talk to him, and she says she made the quickest deal of her life.
So right then and there, I make the quickest deal I ever made in my life. I'll give you 3 years for kidnapping if he walks across the border.
And Gondola says, boom, I'm in. Let's do it. I'll do 3 years for murder. Sure.
Right.
And he also said he was told that they were going to rough this guy up, just rough him up for whatever reason. So he then gives them the rundown of what happened that day with Camila, where they intercepted him at his car, pretended one of them was a cop, handcuffed him or whatever. And then they take him out to a parking lot. And then when he sees Manny in this empty parking lot,
they said, Camila said, oh, that's the husband of the woman I've been having an affair with. Which, yeah. I don't think he said that out loud to those goons. That sounded so fake to me. You'd keep that to yourself. You'd just say, oh, shit. You wouldn't be like, here's the backstory. He is the husband of this woman that I'm cheating on my wife with.
I agree, but I could very easily see him going, oh, I'm f***ing his wife.
I think that was an internal f***.
Yeah.
Gandula says Manny dragged Camilo into his Mercedes.
And then this guy also says, that's where he left it. He didn't go with them to see what happened to Camilo. And I think that is also not true.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you that. That's such BS. And they bought it, I guess. Like, why? Like, why not? They got bigger fish to fry. You know, this guy didn't leave. Well, he just took one of the vehicles and then what everybody else carpooled home, like with Manny in his car. No.
Right.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, if anything, I would think Manny would be the one who wasn't actually there for the murder. And everyone else just did it.
Yeah, and boy, would his lawyer love for the jury to believe that Manny wasn't there.
Not a single one piece of evidence points to Mr. Manny. Nothing.
I hated Manny's lawyer with a passion. I hated him. It made my blood boil, Kate. What did you think of this lawyer? We're at the trial. We're at the trial of Manny.
I mean, listen.
Yep.
Defense attorneys, they gotta be a certain way.
Yeah.
Especially when their client is like a notorious Miami bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure his other clients are cartel members and mob members and just
probably
the seediest people in Miami.
Yeah, you're right. It's like there are these characters on the cop shows too, of like the lawyer that all the drug dealers use.
Mm-hmm.
The Wire famously had that one guy.
She's putting it into your twisted little language. Me, I wouldn't wipe my ass with a Baltimore lawyer. No offense.
None taken.
At the trial, it's weird. Gail Levine does not prosecute though. She hands that off to two other prosecutors. Maybe she has like another case or something. But she did all this stuff. She's been the one spearheading this basically the last few years, right? She pressed the charges.
Unless her team did it and she took the cred.
Oh, maybe. Did you like the prosecutors that we did have? What'd you think of them?
Forgettable.
Yeah, I agree, but I can't. The guy one, he had a look about him that was not sinister whatsoever.
It was revenge. It was machismo. Manny had been wrong.
He just looked like too cartoony and cute or something. Like his face was too round and he looked like a cartoon character. What do you think?
Well, he still got the job done.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So both of the ladies in this love triangle go up to the stand. We talked to them both. And if you told me to pick which one is which, I wouldn't. They are from the same page of the catalog. They are one and the same almost,
well,
right? Would you be able to pick what?
Daisy's blonde.
Yeah.
And the other one isn't.
So wait, but what does that mean to you? Oh, you mean to tell them apart?
Yeah.
You know what I mean. They look like they're the same age. They're the same body type.
Well, I guess Camilo had a, He had a type.
I guess. But this is where I turn on Camilo, because they bring Daisy up to the stand. And that's when she goes on about how, like, he was always present. I had no idea. We just had a kid 3 weeks ago.
Did you have any idea that your husband was involved with someone else while you were with him?
No. We were very happy. Very present. He was present all the time.
And then it's Jenny's turn. Jenny is Manny's wife, who was having the affair with Camilo. They bring her up.
Were you ready to break up with Camilo at that time and just devote yourself to your kids and your husband?
I wanted to, yes.
Why didn't you do it? You could have done it.
You're right.
I thought she handled it pretty good, considering that prick of a defense lawyer.
Yes, she held her own.
I
didn't think that she was a bad guy in this.
No, I don't think so. Because also, like, when she first met Manny, he was married. And she said, unless you get a divorce, I'm not here for it. So he got a divorce. And then they got married and were miserable. And then when he calls her on her shit and says, I know you're sleeping around, what does she say?
Divorce.
Okay, you caught me. Divorce, please. Let's not live this lie any longer. You got to respect that.
And also, they cracked the case because of her.
Oh, yeah. If she hadn't come in saying, hey, I've got two guys in my life that are missing, who knows where we'd be right now.
Totally. They just would have said, it's the cartel. And that would have been that.
Absolutely. Especially because, oh, we got to say, we hinted at it earlier. Gail Levine herself, the manner of death, was by burning, and that burning started on his penis.
Dick.
On his dick, yeah.
I believe they turned him over and lit him on fire from his penis. You only do that if you have one thing in mind, revenge.
Brutal. That's personal.
Oh, yeah.
That is what you do when someone has cheated and slept with your girl. You burn that dick.
Yeah. God, I mean, and Manny's there the whole time saying, you know what you did, you know what you did. That had to be the longest, like, 40 seconds ever. Or however long it took. How long does it take to die from lighting your penis on fire? It's got to take a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you got to go through a lot more hell before you finally croak.
Hopefully you pass out from the pain.
Maybe. Maybe. So one thing this episode did do... Oh, wait. On that defense attorney. Okay. There were two things that he said that drove me so insane. And you're right. Everybody deserves defense. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. But I'm just going to repeat some things that he said that made me insane. He asked Jenny, he says, all you had to do was break up with Camilo. That's all you had to do. So did you do it? And when she says no, this is what he says.
When you want something that is accessible, that is reachable, that the husband is asking you to do, why don't you do it? He's asking you to do it. You can do it. It is there. Why not? Tell me, why not?
I don't know how to answer that question.
And she didn't say what she was really thinking, which was, because I didn't want to be with Manny.
Yeah.
I wanted to be with Camilo. That's why I didn't do it.
Yeah. I just hate that they're allowed to drill her like that. Like, she's allowed to be put through that. I mean, that kind of feels like ground for, what's it called? Objection, Your Honor. Right?
And what is the point of that line of questioning, too? Because what, you're saying that Camilo being brutally murdered is justified because she didn't break up with him? Like, what is the point of that line of questioning?
Yeah. I don't know. I can only assume because he's an old guy, like, he wants him to think that she's a floozy or something. But who knows?
Yeah. They're trying to paint her in a bad light for the jury, but I don't think the jury was buying it because Manny was convicted of manslaughter and given a life sentence, which is interesting that he got manslaughter.
Yeah.
And then that was a life sentence. But then one of the goons got a plea deal who definitely participated in the murder and only had to do 3 years.
Yeah, well, he got the deal because he turned on everybody. I get why he only got three. Here's my thing. I wonder if they said life because they said he's 67. So maybe it's like it's life because he got 20 years or something.
Mm, and men be dying.
But I'm with you, though, because in the verdict, they say the lesser offense of manslaughter, not second degree murder.
Life sentence.
And like that is still life sentence? Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
I hated his dumb face. I hated how he probably thought he looked good in his stupid court outfit. I thought he was dumb. And he made me angry. What'd you think of Manny? Did you like him? Did you think he was so cool and so cool, like, I'm owner Mr. Miami, you f*** with me, I'm gonna burn your dick off.
Well, like I said, he looked like Malcolm McDowell. I thought he was very sharply dressed, clearly a wealthy guy, a man about the world. But no, my heart was with Camilo.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, before we do our lists, I've got a question for you, Kate. They talk about how the Everglades are dumping ground for bodies with the drug cartel and whatnot. Now, DNA, the discovery of DNA is the last big watershed moment that we've had for cold cases. Like, I feel like there's a before DNA and there's an after DNA, right?
Yes.
Do you think it's possible for that to happen again? I have one solution that I think could be around the corner. But is there an invention we're still sitting on that will make it like, oh, let's go back to every single cold case?
Wow. I don't know. I've never thought about that. What do you got, Kurt?
Here we go. Now, when I think about the Everglades or how there's bodies and dumps and stuff, and people are saying like, you know, it's just a given, like there's bodies there, there's nothing we can do. There's got to be a technology where you can sense a body. Like, you know how like you find gold or metal by searching it with a detector or whatever. There's got to be one more invention around the corner of being able to locate bodies like underground.
Like bones.
Yes. Human bones.
Okay.
So no matter what, 23 feet in the ground, there's human remains there. Don't you think that there's a possibility there's a way to, that could still be a thing or no?
Maybe. But in the case of the Everglades, they don't ever find them because they get eaten by alligators.
Yeah, you're right. And it's like, yeah, in Everglades, it's not like they can just dig in the swamp and stuff. That'd be pretty hard.
Nah, it's water.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay, but what about just out in the desert and shit?
Yeah.
Okay, look, maybe the Everglades, maybe that's a lost cause. But what do you think about the desert? There might be something.
You could test it in graveyards.
There you go. I feel like pre-DNA, if you said, hey, there's stuff in your body, where like even inside your bones, there's this stuff called marrow, and all we need is this little thing in there, and that's your DNA, and everybody has their own body molecular fingerprint. Like if you had told people that 100 years ago, they'd go, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. But people 100 years ago were real stupid, Kurt.
So stupid. Yeah, you're right. Look, maybe this is it. Like, we're always going to have new ways to catch current crimes. I'm talking about the cold cases, like the ones where it's like, hey, no body, no crime. Let's forget about it forever. Like, there's got to be one more discovery out there that'll maybe close some of those cases.
If that happens, just like there are a bunch of people who take those detectors out on the beach to find old metal, there's going to be a bunch of true crime nerds with detectors trying to find bones.
I'd probably be one of them. What do you think?
Yeah, you would be.
Yeah, but you, not you? You don't want to find some bones?
I'm just too lazy to get out there.
I just want it for places I'm at all the time. Like where I park all the time for work. Is there a body down here? Nope. Okay. Stuff like that. All right. Well, now that we've solved that, I think it's time for our list. Kate, hit me with your list.
Kate's unnamed list. Is it a small town? No.
Nope.
It's Miami. We got ourselves a Florida connection.
Yep.
And Murph Dog was just loving it.
Oh, he was basking in it.
I love that he knew the roads. He knew the intersections.
Nowhere land, right? That's the edge of the Everglades, right?
Correct. Wait, he did, Kate. I'm so sorry. What about the opening line? We have to discuss the opening laugh of this episode.
Oh, the opening line of this episode had me dying. I was like, if this is any indication of how the rest of the episode is going to go.
Because it was just Murph Dog listing things, and the last one was rage. And he said it with like a smile or something. Murder, jealousy, rage.
Classic.
He was great.
He was having so much fun.
Money, sex, jealousy, rage.
What else you got?
I think that's it for my list this week.
Yeah, but that Florida one's a big one, and they even talk about how, like, this could only happen in Miami.
This is an only in Miami kind of case.
Only in Miami.
Only in Miami could there be a cheater and a dead body. Okay.
I mean, it happens everywhere, but sure.
Yeah, sure does. I mean, I guess it's only in Miami in that the Everglades are around there. So you got me there.
Sure.
All right, but that's a big one. That's a big hit. And now it's time for Kurt's Kick-Ass List.
Kick-Ass List.
Now, I've got one that hit, and yet again, it hit twice. Do you know which one it was, Kate?
Like something out of a movie.
Boom! Two very different ones. One, there was one in the cold open again. And I didn't like it because of the prosecutor that was forgettable.
This case had all the elements of a bad Hollywood movie.
They always feel like they gotta say it's a bad movie. I just don't care for it.
Yeah, why is it bad? Murders happen.
Murders do happen. And I don't know, it's like they want to feel like above the movie or something. Like they're above movies, I think.
Like real life is way more important than your little stories.
Yeah. So that's one. And then the reporter that they talked to, he said if this was a movie,
this whole saga would be some sort of only in South Florida telenovela. Very melodramatic and very tragic.
That's a very specific brand of movie. So I get what he's going with. And for that, I applaud him.
All right.
That's a big one. Yep. Nothing else. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it. Next week's episode, we're finally doing the one on the Gilgo Beach killer. Are you excited or bummed?
I admittedly don't know a lot about this guy and this case.
Same.
And I was trying to hold off watching anything about it so we could really dive into it here on the show.
That's good.
But so much time has passed, and I feel like it's old news now. So we'll see.
Yeah.
My excitement is not really what it was.
That's fair. I'm going to pump it up with this little bit of info. It's an AC app, so that's pretty sweet.
Okay, great.
AC is in the biz. And I'm with you that because it was an open case, I avoided anything and everything about it because there's no ending. So I'm like, catch me when you got the killer, right? And that's what they do now. So now that I'm ready to get into it, I don't know a lot, so it will be informative.
I think that our listeners already know way more about it than we do.
That's true. Now, the real problem is when we have to do the Murtaugh one in a few weeks, but we'll deal with that when we get to it, because I know plenty about that one. You know what? Let's discuss the idea of skipping off mic, because I don't know where I stand on it, but I'm with you. Let's table this until post-record. Cool?
Yeah, I just hate that family.
Yeah, agreed. Well, that's going to do it. I'm Kurt Money.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Lester Holt. For all of us, I'm Lester Holt. Good night.
Only everything